Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Ah, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about the little boy that was forced to get on the treadmill over and over again and ended up losing his little life because of the insensitivity of the adult who he was in his care. And it prompted us to ask some really important questions as to, you know, what would you ask an individual who was going to mentor your child? And we then subsequently got some answers. Yeah, what answers would be sufficient, you know, for us, you know, something that we would be satisfied with? And it was some very good questions. So I want to send you back. I want to send you back to just listen to the conversation, because maybe you'll get some questions that, you know, you would have asked, some questions that you wouldn't have asked, some answers that you would have been okay with, and some answers that really would not have satisfied you. Yeah. So we also spent our morning getting the switch tip from Shantice. Stay confident in what God has told you. You know, as a person who's always asking, what did God say? You know, I find people waffling, you know, when they say they've heard from God, and kind of all over the place. And, you know, one of the things that was really important in this switch tip was just standing on the promises of God, standing on what God has told you is for you. You know, you look around and everything is not for everybody. And sometimes people get some things that you would have liked to get, but wasn't quite for you. So you really got to stay confident and what God has told you for you, and anything else around you or something he's given you for your benefit. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to just stay confident and stand, you know, firm, but you got to do it, you got to do it, you got to do it. Okay? All righty. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around, and we got to talking to our panel, and we talked about the gunman who was arrested after trying to shoot that Pennsylvania pastor, and we ended up asking the question, you know, should you protect your church members or the clergy of your church by having a detector, yeah, a magnometer at the church? You know, should they be walking through the doors like this, you know, getting their body wand? And yeah, you know, sometimes it's a little hard for people to understand whether they should or shouldn't. What does a church look like? Does a church, you know, stand confident in, you know, what God has told them about the church, their church? And, you know, let each individual go to God on that one. You know, maybe you're in a neighborhood, or maybe you've experienced, you know, these people coming through the door and holding a gun up to you. And what are you going to do after that? You know, some people would definitely want a gun. I'm sorry, not a gun. Oh, no, well, we talked about that too. You know, some people have guns in the church, armed security in the church. You know, if they've already been, you know, a victim of this type of behavior, then are we mad that they decide to, you know, get, you know, a metal detector? You know, I'm not mad at you. I don't know. Maybe you feel differently. But to each his own. Let them go to God and see what God tells them to do. Okay? All righty. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around, and we got to talking to our girl Vivian, and she gave us some points in her socially conscious segment. She talked about the New Bronx domestic violence shelter that has gone up, and they have decided to allow the family pets inside of the home. Yes, their new home now. So we got to talking about that. We also got to talking about that rent versus wage increase. And ever since Vivian's been talking about that, that's all I've been seeing in the news for the last couple of days. You know, this whole, you know, rent going sky high and wages haven't budged much. You know, how do you handle that? How do you handle paying your bills when, you know, you're not getting that much in your salary or income? All right. We also talked about the fact that the cooling assistance is available. Ooh, HEAP, H-E-A-P. Go check it out. See if you're eligible to get money for a portable air conditioner or some fans, and, you know, check out the criteria and what the requirements are in order to become eligible. All righty. Well, yesterday, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around, and oh my, Pastor KL and our millennials were on the line, and we got to talking about four types of men that women are attracted to, and what does that say about the woman? Now, the article gave a picturesque of view from the counselors and therapists and psychologists and things like that. And, you know, the three of them talked about life. What do they see? What does it look like to them? And, it was an interesting dynamic listening to what they thought versus what the, you know, psychiatrists and all those people thought. So I'm going to send you back to go listen. And I ended up coming across more of these type men that women are actually drawn to. And I think we're going to go back to this conversation because it was really, really a good one. Yeah. Well, today is Freestyle Friday, everybody. And we get to do whatever it is we want to do. Well, we don't do a whole lot, but we do get a chance to talk to the men and hear what's going on in their head. And that can be a very interesting dynamic. Yeah, we don't ever know what they're going to be thinking from one moment to the next. Yeah. So I'm going to send you to go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
According to South Korea's Ministry of Health, more than 600 cases of hepatitis A have been reported, mainly in Gyeonggi province and the cities of Seoul and Daejeon. The exact source of transmission is under investigation. Strict hygiene and food precautions are advised for travel to risk areas. The best way to prevent getting the infection is to receive the hepatitis A vaccine. These vaccinations are recommended for those who live in South Korea, as well as travelers going to South Korea and family members being stationed in South Korea. All service members receive the hepatitis A vaccine as part of routine vaccinations. Symptoms of hepatitis A include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue, abdominal pain, yellow skin or eyes, and dark urine or clay stools. The best way to prevent hepatitis A infection is to get vaccinated. If you have questions about exposure, schedule an appointment with your healthcare provider.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Ooh, I don't know about you all. This has been one busy week. And I haven't even left my house. But it's just been busy. And giving God thanks that he has brought us through the week unscathed and still in our right frame of mind. Everybody can't say that. And I am one who I am definitely happy and giving God thanks for that. It's a small thing to some people, but it's a big, big thing. So, let's get this party started. All right. So, you know, on Friday, we do our celebrity thing, our TV thing, our movie thing. Well, we talked about the fact that our one of our favorite shows, Power Book 2, Ghosts, is coming to an end. Yes, this is their last. This is their last season. This is the finale coming up. And they have broken it down into two different pieces. You know, one of the other shows, they have done that several times. And Ghost Power Book is joining them for their finale. And I got to tell you, here's what I normally do, and y'all can tell me if y'all do this too. You know, a lot of times you forget what happened in the season before. So I always go back and watch the season before, the last season before I start the new season. So we just got finished watching season 3. Is it season 3 or season 4? I think it's season 3 of this Tyreek story. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, this was a good season. Well, for those of you who don't remember, they killed Sax, yes. And still it hit me when, you know, when it happened. I was like, oh. You know, Sax was in the very first episode of Power. And you probably don't remember, but he has been a very big presence in this whole series. So now, you know, I saw an article last night that talks about this final season. So first of all, let's talk about who's coming back. All right. So we got Mary J. Blige, who's coming back as Monet Tejada. We've got Method Man. Yes, he's coming back as Davis McLean. We've got Woody McLean, who's coming back as Kane. Boy, he is looking so good on camera. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, remember, he started from the Bobby Brown and New Edition story. And I was looking at him this last season, and I was like, yo, he is ripping this role. So he's coming back. We've got Lavelle Adams Gray, who's coming back as Drew Tejada. We've got Latoya, I think it's Tonadeo, as Diana Tejada. We've got Alex LaPree as Effie coming back. Oh, we've got Babyface himself, Lorenz Tate, picking up his role as Rashad Tate, the councilman. And we've got this Caroline, I think it's Chikazi, who's coming back as Noma. And, you know, Noma is the one who picked up where Mecca, you know, he was doing all the drug dealing and all that kind of stuff, and she was supposed to be his secret fiance when we thought he was in love with Monet. Yeah. So those individuals are all coming back, and I'm sure we'll see some of the smaller cast members, but, you know, all the Tejadas are coming back. Definitely our boys, Brayden and Tyreek, they are both coming back. You know, they are, I guess, the new Tommy and Ghost. But they've been rocking it. I have to say, the two of them have been rocking it. And I have to say, I don't know about y'all, but when Power was closing down and they said that Power Book 2, Ghost was coming, I was not impressed. I was really upset. And I was like, oh, who wants to look at Tyreek? But I got to tell you, he's been holding it down. That Michael Rainey Jr., I got to give it to him. He's been holding it down well. We've got some new faces showing up for Power Book 2 in its final season. And this was one face, I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't too happy. So they're pulling in a new detective. I guess he's you know, we haven't had many detectives in Power, in the Power story. But Michael Ealy is joining. And I got to tell y'all, I'm just tired of looking at him. I am so tired of looking at Michael Ealy. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know, this quiet, soft-spoken, he's so passively aggressive in most roles he plays. I was like, y'all couldn't get nobody else. So I guess, you know, they haven't been able to nail Tyreek. And much like with the Ghost character, they, you know, and which is the whole premise of the Ghost character, you know, they were never able to nail his father. So in these four seasons, they have not been able, or these three seasons, they haven't been able to nail Tyreek to anything. You know, they've been talking about all the stuff that he's done and all that he's involved in, but they have never been able to put their hands on him. So, again, you know, Tyreek is coming back. Michael Rainey Jr., along with Gianna, I think it's Paolo, which is Brayden. And I have to say, Brayden is holding it down, yo. You know, he's no Tommy. Tyreek is no Ghost. But they had, at the helm of this thing, the two of them been rocking these roles. And I'm really impressed with the whole cast of young people. And in these last few years of these different urban series, they've really been finding and casting well. I really gotta say, I don't know about the rest of you, but I am quite impressed at the, you know, the young people that they have been, you know, putting their hands on to, you know, fill these roles. And I'm talking about the other one that's getting ready to get started, what, Deshai, you know, those young people. They've been holding it down as well. You know, the Power series and the Power franchise, they've been sitting at the top for me. And I, like I said, nonetheless, the young people have really been, you know, holding it down. And it's been a pleasure to actually watch them. So, you know, just wanted to give you a heads up as to, you know, who is coming back. Brashandria looks like she's coming back. Yeah, everybody knows her. She's the one in the classroom. She's now working for Tate in his campaign. She was working for him. So she's looks like she's coming back. Oh, our girl Golden Brooks from Girlfriends. She's going to be hanging out with the cast. And she actually looks pretty good. She's another one who I can take her or leave her, but I was a little surprised to see that they were pulling her in. That sidekick of Noma's, the guy who actually saved Tyreek's life by calling Brayden to the, you know, to the rescue at the tail end of last season. He's back. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Power is going to bring to the table. The writing has been really good, so I'm not looking to be disappointed. What else is going on in our celebrity world? Well, Devon Franklin, we talked about him. He was the one who was the minister who was married to, what's our girl's? I can't think of her name. I could see her. Megan Good. And Tyler Perry. They are teaming up to bring us a series of faith-based films. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad. You know, Tyler Perry, to me, has been holding it down. You know, some people say that, you know, he's kind of fallen off. Maybe he has, but I'm not, you know, completely sold that he doesn't have another few, you know, stories in his arsenal before he's done. Well, they have a film that they are getting ready to push, which is going to be their first in many. They have signed on with Netflix. Yeah. So I guess Netflix is trying to redeem themselves. But they have signed on with Netflix to provide some faith-based programming. And Netflix does have a nice little arsenal of faith-based programming. Yeah, some movies. They got some, you know, some movies under their belt. Not originals, but, you know, just showcasing. And they have this new movie that's going to be their first. And I would love to see Shantice's face. But it's called R&B. R&B. And it's written by the guy who's responsible for Brown Sugar. And this other guy who's responsible for the movie Play, P-L-A-Y apostrophe D. I'm sure if you've been going through Prime and all of those, this name is very familiar to me, but I can't place who else is on that cover. But R&B, they say, is a modern-day retelling of the story of Ruth and Boaz. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. So the premise of the story is it's set in Tennessee, and it follows a young woman who escapes the Atlanta music scene to care for some elderly widowed woman. Sound familiar? And they say while doing that, she finds the love of her life and gains the mother she never had. So, you know, there's the storyline, the biblical storyline that they are following. They don't have a cast that they are naming right now, but I'd love to know who was in this. So we're going to see. That's the first one they're launching through Netflix. So, you know, what's his name? Devon Franklin, he's been responsible for a couple of heavy hitters in the movie realm. And we know, like I said, we know Tyler Perry, you know, has done his thing. I don't know if you saw A Jazz Man's Blues. It was a hard story. It was a hard story for some people. It wasn't too hard for me. You know, I had some people like, oh, I can't watch that again. It ain't bothered me that much. But, you know, everybody can't, you know, they don't receive everything the same way. But to me, it was really good. It was very good. It was a Tyler Perry story. For those of us who have seen A Fall from Grace, that's with, I think her name is Crystal. She was the one who starred in his series, The Haves and the Have-Nots. And it was a good story. And so they're kind of citing those a couple of his last movies, and they were pretty good. So they're anticipating that this R&B is going to be something pretty smoking. So we'll see. We shall see. You know, I'm waiting to get with Shantice and my brother Ainsley. We're going to do a My Two Cents on it, I'm sure. God spares. So I can't wait. I can't wait. So that is our more immediate celebrity news and movie and TV stuff. So for those of us who are missing Martin, we know he and Will are back in the theaters come June with their fourth installment of Bad Boys, yes. And not only that, but Martin is on his first comedy tour in 8 years. Yes. So, y'all know what it is the title of his tour. And he is pulling in some hilarious individuals such as Adele Givens, B. Simone, Chico Bean, and DC Young Fly. And we know the two of them are from the Wildin' Out, camp. And they're pretty funny. Dion Cole, who is pretty funny, and Desi Banks. So I don't know how this lineup is going to lay out, because I'm sure, you know, I don't think this is going to be on the tip of, what do you call that, when he used to do the what show was he on when he did the thing for Simmons, Def Comedy Jam, when he would, you know, come out and he would, you know, headline and be the host of that. No, this is his tour. So maybe, you know, as some of the other people who tour, as they get to different locations, he'll have these individuals. But he's got a nice lineup here. It starts July 20th in Chandler, Arizona, and is going all the way through April of 25, and it will end in Little Rock, Arkansas. So he's definitely coming through your neck of the woods. I'm looking here, and he's going to be somewhere where you can get to. He's doing quite a bit in Florida. Yeah, he's hanging out in Florida for a little bit. But he's going to be all over the place. He's going to be in Pennsylvania. He's going to be in Mississippi, California, Michigan, North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky. He's going to be in Ohio, Cali. He's coming to Brooklyn, everybody, at the Barclays Center. And that's January 24th of 25. He is planning to land in Atlantic City the next day, January 25th of 25, at the Hard Rock Cafe. So, the Hard Rock Cafe Hotel and Casino. He is going to be in Chicago, Virginia, Louisiana, and again landing in Arkansas. So for those of you who want to see Martin along with some of maybe your favorite comedians, there you have it. He's back. And this is a big tour. I'm looking at least 20 stops here on this tour date, on this tour, this tour calendar. So what else are we talking about? Where is Shantice? So remember, a few weeks ago, she talked about Brian McKnight. Yes, remember, he was dissing his old family for the new family. And, you know, I got to tell you, we got to stop believing that we can just do what we want to do and everybody going to be accepting. Everybody's going to accept this stuff. Well, when I saw this, I almost ran up to her and said, girl, guess what? But I had to hold it because the people, especially the people in, I'm going to make sure I say this right, out in Michigan, yes, they did not take too kindly to Mr. McKnight's disrespect. Yeah, they were not feeling him. They are not feeling him. So we seem to forget that everybody is not into our particular antics. And when he got on the wire and publicly disowned his biological, you know, kids for this new family, saying that the old kids were a product of sin, that the people in Motor City was listening, and he forgot that he was on tour. Well, I gotta tell you, grand opening, grand closing, because they have officially shut him down. Oh, yeah. They are not buying his tickets in Motor City, and they had to cancel the show. And they are not quiet as to why. So he had a tour date in Motor City Casino Hotel out there in Detroit, Michigan. And they were like, he thinks he's coming where? So I'm going to read you some of the comments that they left. You know, I love to tell you what the people said. Well, let me find this here. Ha! One of the people said he might as well retire. Tell him, bring his kids and we might come. Somebody else wrote, I wouldn't even go for free. They are hot there. They are really hot there. And they have gotten, they got all kinds of memes on Twitter. And somebody said, word on the street is Brian McKnight better not show up in Detroit trying to do a concert, because we ain't having it. Another one, this is what happens or needs to happen when community members and family of deadbeat fathers stop supporting them. He deserves to never be able to sell out any show. Somebody else says, I love the way Detroit canceled Brian McKnight, $8 sign, with the swiftness, not letting evil prosper. Yes. So they have a post where they have this, the announcement, big event canceled. And it says, unfortunately, the event organizer has had to cancel your event. And they tell them how they, you know, going to get their money back, so forth and so on. They are really shouting out. He's having a concert in one of the blackest cities while being anti-black. He forgot who his audience was. New tour dates should be in white states only, Idaho, Maine, Massachusetts. Let's see how far he gets. Wow. Good. Brian McKnight deserves all the disrespect ex-fans can give him. Old deadbeat. Wow. Not Detroit told Brian McKnight to bring his kids to the concert and they might come. Laugh out loud. I love that Brian McKnight's ugly ways are hitting his pockets. Detroit has said, go away. So there you have it. These people are not messing. We prayed for him. Well, baby, we didn't realize how much we needed to pray for him. Because now it has definitely hit his pockets. They are not appreciating his nasty attitude, and they are shutting him down. Yeah. Well, here's the problem with this. You know, monkey see, monkey do. And all it takes is the first set to do it. Because after that, everybody and their mama starts following suit. And I was like, wow. You know, I marvel at God who had us pray for him. Little did we know if this was going to be some backlash. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, we didn't know some backlash was coming. Mm-mm-mm. Well, here's something else that I think you may find. You know, we got the... I was really able to come across some celebrity stuff yesterday. So, do you know, and I would love to talk to my guys about this, Diddy, with all that's going on, he has been nominated for 3 BET Awards, despite all the sex abuse charges and allegations and the fact that he paid off that check. And yeah, and I'm like, wow. So here you got Brian McKnight, who is on tour, who got his stuff shut down. And here you've got, just for the fact that he talked about his family, here you got people nominating Diddy for a BET award 3 times in 3 different categories. And I don't know how far this is going to go, because they were describing in the article the nomination process. And they were saying that, you know, he's nominated because on one of his releases, he bust out with some heavy hitters such as Justin Bieber, The Weeknd, Mary J. Blige, Herb Alpert, John Legend, and Burna Boy. Now, I didn't even know Herb Alpert was still blowing a horn. So, listen, you go back and get these icons, they can turn up your, you know, your sales, because you haven't heard, and I love Herb Alpert. Well, y'all know how I love my music. But, yeah, he went back and grabbed Herb Alpert or whoever did, and yo, you were looking to pull in some purchases or downloads, whatever they do these days. And they're saying he is definitely moving through the process of, you know, the voting process. So the first round of voting was finished on May 7th. So, you know, we'll see how far this goes. But my thing is, if they shut down Brian McKnight, I don't know what they're going to do with this Diddy thing, because my thing is not so much the allegations. You know, we talk about this all the time here on It's Due Time. You know, how you get cut off at the knees, you know, from going any further when your name hits the airwaves negatively. And, you know, Hollywood don't want you no more, the people don't want you no more, so forth and so on. So, you know, just at the allegations. Now, my thing is, forget the allegations. He's paid somebody off. And I don't care what he says. I'm not paying nobody no $30 million to just shut you up if I'm legitimately clean. And we all know that he is far from legitimately clean. I don't have to be in Brooklyn. I don't need to see what's going on the inside of the studio. This has just been going on for way too long. Too many allegations. People have come out the woodwork all over the place for decades about him. And yet, are we really going to hand him an award? Here's the problem. Why didn't BET shut this down? Why didn't you shut it down? Because here's what they're risking. If they shut Brian McKnight down, let me tell you something. People have, they shut, what's his name? My boy, R. Kelly down. Oh, yeah, they were protesting. That's why R. Kelly, listen, R. Kelly couldn't get a hero from the bodega in Chicago when they finished with him. Oh, yeah, they made it known. If you even helped R. Kelly, they were coming for you, the people. So my thing is, you think the people are going to let you? Come on. Diddy ain't got that much pull because a whole lot of people don't like him. Unlike R. Kelly, who everybody still loves, despite all the allegations and him being, you know, placed in jail probably to the day he died, because he's still not finished. So I was like, wow, y'all really pushing the process. Y'all are really, this should have been an article like the one I just read on Brian McKnight. So I don't know. Let me see if I got one more story slipping real quickly. Let's see. I got a whole bunch of news here. But, here we go. We're going to talk about this pastor, this Long Island pastor, who is accused of sexually abusing a teen in the church basement. So a 15-year-old girl who was in the Huntington Seventh-day Adventist Church back in March is accusing this pastor of abusing her. And the bad part about it is they found some inappropriate text messages and a photo of the victim in his phone. If y'all gonna do the thing, why y'all just keep carrying around all the evidence? Get rid of the stuff. So this girl's sister is the one who notified the cops. It doesn't say how she found out or if the young girl told, you know, directly. But they did arrest him, and he's been charged with criminal solicitation, sexual abuse, and two counts of endangering the welfare of a child. So another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Where are my men? Let's talk to my boy Ainsley. Good morning, Brother Ainsley.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning. It's Friday morning. I'm up. I'm here. How you doing? What's up?
I am doing well, thank you. This celebrity news is like, wow. Yeah. So let me ask you, are you a Power Book 2 fan?
I'm a fan. I haven't been up on it. Unfortunately, I haven't been up on it. I've been kind of busy. I haven't had a chance really to watch it and follow it through like I normally would a series. Most of the time, it's good. I like to watch a series, man, and I tend to binge watch, man. I got from one end, you want to know what's going to happen. You watch the next one, and then, you know, you just keep on going and going and going. But I've been able to follow through the last few episodes for a little while with the Power, you know, Power Book.
Okay.
Too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're adding, well, first of all the Tejadas are coming back. What do you think about that one?
They got to come back. What do you mean? Everybody got to come back, as far as I'm concerned. You got to keep the storyline going, you know, besides those who got off. You know, you got to keep it going. So everybody got to come back, you know.
Okay, okay, okay. Well, this is their final season, and they're breaking it up in two. And along with all the Tejadas, you got Meth coming back. You got, what's her name, Anoma coming back. You've got, what's her name, Effie coming back. And you've actually got Michael Ealy joining the cast as a detective. So we know, without even going any further, that he's going to be on the tail of Brayden and Tariq and the Tejadas. And what do you think about Michael Ealy joining the cast? I'm curious, as a man.
I mean, as an actor, he's pretty good. You gotta give him his due for his acting. I like to see how he's going to portray the role, how they're going to put him in. You know, I heard, like you say, you know, he tends to be kind of more soft-spoken. But, you know, I think there was one role, I forgot what movie he was, he had a dark side.
And,
yeah. You know, he played off pretty well. So it depends, like, you know, how they, you know, how the character, you know, how his character is really going to be. He's going to be a little more gritty, dirty. I really hate to see, no matter how the writers, you know, got it, I think he could pull it off, you know, him. Somebody, he'd be like, man, I don't know. But him, I'm curious to see how he's going to do it. I think everything he does is pretty well, you know what I'm saying? So,
all right.
I'll give him.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad actor at all. I'm just sick of him. The soft-spoken stuff just gets on my nerves. But, you know, no, he holds it down. He holds
it
down.
He could be a dog, you know, soft-spoken, you know, as a dimension to the character, you know. Like I said, the quiet ones you got to look out for.
Okay. Well, what do you think about our girl Golden Brooks joining from Girlfriends?
Okay, now, if I remember who she is.
She was once played Maya.
What's she gonna be doing then?
I don't know.
Okay.
They don't even throw a hint as to who she's going to be. They do say that Michael Ealy is going to play Detective Don Carter, but they do not talk about who Golden Brooks is going to play or who she's going to be close to in this. They just say she's playing some Janet. So I don't know who she's too young to be Noma's daughter. So I don't know what she's going to do. But before we finish with this conversation, who could go? If we know they're going to be eliminating some people. Who can go in your opinion? Who can be a casualty?
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. I haven't watched it in a good while, so I'm trying to refresh my memory. Oh, that's a good one. I don't know. Off the top of my head, you know. Well, first of all, you know Tariq, he ain't going nowhere.
Oh, no. We know.
I think. Well, as a season finale, I would think, like, his father had to go at the end somewhere. He might got to go, too. If you really going to make the final,
he
got to
go. Ainsley. He's got to go last. He's going to go last. So we're not counting Tariq. Who can go?
Oh, okay.
There's one who can go. Who should have been going, Ainsley. This is my 2 cents going on here right now. Who could go from the beginning? They could have gotten rid of this person. Who can go?
Oh, man. Oh, one of the gay brother.
Oh, Drew. Okay, you say Drew can go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Drew. Yeah, he can go.
No, get rid of Monet. Mary J. Blige is straight, corny, and whack. I'd sooner keep Drew than Mary J. Blige.
Nah, I see my Mary J, man.
Oh,
I'd rather see Mary J than Drew. Nah.
Really? Okay, okay. Well, listen,
yeah,
I can't wait. Okay, you know what we're going to do? This is going to be a real interesting conversation because it's good it's not a Tuesday because we would be all over this for my 2 cents. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to jump into the Power Book 2 Ghost season finale, and we're going to hit my 2 cents. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Because
okay.
already you made a rival of me when you said Drew over Mary. So we're going to see how this goes down. It starts it starts next week, I believe. Wait, they did say the day it starts. I think it starts in a week or so. No. Wait. Oh, June 7th. That was right. It starts the 7th. So it starts in a few weeks. So we've got to, we've got one more. Yeah, we got to do that. And the following Thursday, we are going to be all over it. So thanks for indulging me. All right. So we're talking about Brian McKnight. And you weren't listening on Thursday where Shantice did her Pray for Them. And, you know, he was really disrespectful to his first set of biological children. He called them the product of sin. And the people in Michigan are not feeling him at all for what he has said about his children and writing them off. And they have shut him down. They will not buy his tickets in Detroit. Do you think this is going to start a trend of people just all over the place not supporting him?
You know what? I don't know, because I didn't know about that last part that he said. That, I mean, did he really say that? And, you know, what is the context for that? Because I know he has said something. It was a while ago, I believe. You know, he came out and did a video. He was talking about, you know, there was some conflict he had with his children. And he came on, and he stated his case. And what I heard him say, I was like, okay, it kind of makes sense. Basically, he was saying, if I'm not mistaken, that first of all, he was already doing what financially was supposed to, financially taking care of his kids. Now he's talking like the sons, I forget exactly who it is, you know, I don't know the names and stuff. But they're in their mid, they're not like, you know, little kids. They're in their 20s. And I think it was more so about them trying to, supporting them as adults. He was trying to get them to, you know, to get jobs, and he's trying to, support them, you know, take back some of the support, trying to make them more independent. And they're having a problem, and I think they was having a problem with that. And, you know, and so he was kind of going to withdraw some of the support, trying to get them more independent. And that's where the conflict came in. And so that's all I knew. But now he's saying now his kids are the product of sin?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know what we're talking about. I mean, their behavior, or like they was born, whatever, you know. I don't understand what he meant by that, you know.
Well, the way it was
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, well, the way it was given to us, Shantice did, she does a Pray for Them, and she kind of lays out an entire situation and scenario of an entertainer. And it appeared, and she can let me know if I'm right or not, it appeared as though he was kind of renouncing his first family, his first set of kids, and saying that they were a product of sin, as though that's the way they were born, not that their behavior was sinful. But he was bigging up his second, this new family, and, you know, really being quite disrespectful to the other children. And, you know, whatever you got going on in your personal, you know, relationship is one thing, but, you know, to, you know, you pushing the new kid out there, this little, I think it's a little boy, I could be wrong, but you're pushing the little kid out in the front, and you're kind of dismissing completely. It was just the real level of disrespect. And it clearly, regardless of how it was said, they're in Detroit receiving it the way they're receiving it. And, you know, for you to get a whole concert canceled because the people are not buying your tickets, there's only one way they're looking at it. So whether they have gotten this wrong or not is another thing. However, you know, I'm wondering if this is going to now start a chain reaction like they did with R. Kelly, because that's what happened. When they started shutting him down in Chicago, it became infectious, and they started shutting him down in, you know, everywhere else. Excuse me, people stopped buying the tickets. So that's what I'm asking. You know, do you think that these people are going to now, you know, start, is there a possibility? I mean, you know, of course you don't know it, you know, factually, but knowing how people do, you know, what do you think is the possibility?
I think in this case, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because I think, you know, I mean, I happen to like Brian McKnight, you know, as an artist, songwriter, and stuff, what he do and stuff like that. And this seems to be more personal, domestic kind of, you know, thing going on. And the best thing we all can do is pray over that situation. You know, there's a lot of healing that needs to be had there. You don't know, we all know the full details. So they need Jesus.
Yeah. Actually,
they need Jesus.
Absolutely.
For real, they really
absolutely
need it. Badly. Really badly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we all do.
Absolutely.
So,
and it's good.
Yeah. So I think that's more, and a little bit I know, I think that's what they really, really need. And, you know, people will rally behind somebody without really knowing the full truth and stuff like that. So I don't think so. That's their hometown, so okay. Cause I think because he goes somewhere else, he's going to sell out a show and stuff like
okay
that. Now, here's the funny thing, though. But I think even R. Kelly, because I know even stuff when he was going down, I knew a couple of people, they was like diehard. They would still go to his concerts. I'm like, why?
Absolutely.
I'm like, and my thing, you know, to me, because Brahman, like, that's more domestic. That's your whole family issue. You know, there's no, like,
right,
real, you know, no sexual abuse thing going on. It's just however things played out. But Kelly, that's, well, you're talking about being a pedophile. That's a whole different level. That's a whole different kind of situation right there. To me, he's exactly where he needs to be.
Okay.
You know, so,
okay,
but the funny thing is, people would still support him going to his concerts.
Oh, of course.
And a couple
of
young ladies, so I just love him. I'm like, no matter what he do, I'm like, that's what I got a problem with. So it's like, no matter what somebody does, there's going to be some people, they will go.
Absolutely.
I mean, droves, go to concerts.
Absolutely.
And pay big money and just to see him do what, you know, all this, you know. You say my mind telling me no, but my body, you all crazy.
Yeah.
So,
no, absolutely. There are going to be people who support. You know, I'm sure even in this particular case with Brian McKnight, everybody didn't, you know, there were still some ticket sales, I'm sure. I'm sure it wasn't a flat out, you know, no ticket sales at all, because like you said, it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, you're still going to have some diehard fans, whether they are, you know, people, the mass majority agree or disagree. We'll see, because I'm going to track this. Like I said, it was first, but the only reason why I knew about this is because it came up on Shantice's radar for the Pray For Them. And that Thursday, we did a Pray For Him segment, and it was Brian McKnight. So when I saw this last night, I was like, whoa, this is coming out in a much different manner where we're over here praying for him. They're over there shutting them down. Speaking of shutting them down, you've got Diddy, who is now nominated for 3 BET awards. Now, you just got finished saying that, you know, certain things are tolerable and certain things are not tolerable. Where does this fall? Should he be going through this this process of being nominated?
Yeah, what kind of award he getting nominated for? You know, whatever, what? not only for a record. I don't know what record who
yeah,
wants to do whatever that is.
Album of the year. He's got one for album of the year. He's got one for a track. He's got, check this out. He's got, I didn't even see this. He's got one for album of the year, the Love album Off the Grid. He's got another one for the a track, Closer to God. And that's the one with Teyana Taylor. And he's got another, I just saw that one. And he's got another nomination for Song of the Year. And Video of the Year. So he's got three. Those are the three. He's got Album of the Year, Track of the Year, which is Song of the Year, and Video of the Year.
You know
so
what? I guess I'm getting old because, you know what? I don't know none of his stuff right now.
Okay,
I don't know
well,
none of that, you know,
bad.
But. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, but what, I mean, I don't know who he went up against, but I mean, if he's a contender for, you know, album of the year, video of the year, whatever he did. All right, if you're a legitimate contender, all right, okay, so be it. But I mean, if it comes time for actual award show, I don't know when it is, but should he show up, show his face? Is he going to show his face? You know, that'd probably be one of those times, you know. If you do win, you know, the rep come up, you know how they go, or how we used to do, this person couldn't make it, he'll take his award on his behalf. You need to go somewhere. Go stay home and you know, we better get with your problems.
All right.
So I think on the visit, right, I think he's gonna, I mean, legitimately, if he's, you know, eligible, right, it is, but, you know. But as far as everything else going on, you know, that's a major problem he got to deal with.
All right. I'm hearing some disparity, but it's okay. Let me hear what your boy, Pastor KL, has got to say. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am okay. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well right now. We had a bad tornado here, and my lights just came back on. My lights just came back on about an hour ago. We went out yesterday at 8:00.
Wow. Okay. What did they say? What kind of damage was done?
Yeah, it's quite a few houses in the Wizard of Oz.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna keep keep Alabama in prayer. I'm going to keep everybody.
Go ahead and pray for them on Thursday.
Okay. We're going to pray for them before Thursday. We're going to pray for them before Thursday. All righty. Now, I don't know if you heard the Brian McKnight story when Shantice gave it, but we've got this whole concert canceled thing, and you heard the comments of the locals of Detroit, and they're not having it. Whether this is something that you would personally respond to differently or not, they're not having it, and they shut the concert down, even to the degree of saying, you know, like, don't even look to come back here. So they're not taking this. What do you think about this? Do you think that this will possibly? No, you don't know emphatically, but what's your thought? Do you think this may start a trend, you know, because that's how people do you? Or do you think that, you know, some other area like Brother Ainsley said, we'll raise up and, you know, they're going to support you. What you think?
Yeah, I'm with Brother Ainsley. I think this is a one-off, you know, particularly, you know, they did this here in Detroit. And I think it was a good idea. I mean, it was a good movement. However, you know, people like the underdog, you know, and they root for the underdog and they run for the underdog. Listen, back in the days, if Jesus was doing a concert or Barabbas was doing a concert, they're going to Barabbas' concert. They're not going to not go to the concert. They said, give me Barabbas. They like the bad boys. They like the underdog. And that's what they're going to support.
Okay. We're going to see if you two gentlemen are correct going forward. All righty. Let's talk about Diddy. We've had him on our, our Friday topics a couple times. And, you know, Brother Ainsley said that, you know, canceling out Kelly because he's a pedophile. Well, Diddy has been accused of the same thing. Maybe not to, you know, the, well, no, I can't even say that. He's been accused of the same thing. Quite a few of these allegations are coming across because these girls and these boys were young. And they're nominating him and they're allowing him to go through the nomination process in the BET Awards. Do you think he should be allowed to go through this process?
Well, I think because he's allowed to keep doing what he's doing, you know, then of course he's allowed to go through the process. No one has gotten mad enough yet. You know, R. Kelly, you know, he's been doing it for a long time, and finally somebody got mad enough. No one has gotten mad enough. You know, though some of us as Christians, we cringe, the world, you know, it's just a new story to follow. You know, I heard Andy says some of his shows he's been watching. We just been watching the news to see what's going to be next. It's another movie. It's another series. No one's really, really upset. So if no one's really, really upset, that's why he still has, you know, yeah, they sued him for some money, but he still got money because no one's that upset that they're going to shut him down. So they allow him to do what he does.
Okay. All righty. We'll see how far he gets in this process. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for indulging me in my news. Brother Al has just joined us, just in the nick of time to talk about our topic. Well, I have a couple pulled out. So the first one, we'll see how long this goes on and if we have time for the next one. So you have this, this dilemma between this couple. So here's how the story goes. There was a man who was dying to buy a house, and I'm saying that specifically. He was really, really anxious to buy a house. He ended up being shown a home by a broker, and he's 34 years old, and he says 9 years ago, he finally was shown a home that he liked. He really just, his interest was just having land. That was his big thing. Like, you know, more of the details of the home. He really wasn't, really wasn't interested in. He just wanted a bunch of land. So he did find a home that he did like, and it covered quite a few acres of land. It was a nice little quiet area. So he took his dogs and he lived there with no problem. He then found out before he bought it, they told him that the story had a history. That's what the real estate guy told him, that this home had a bit of history. And he said, all right, it depended on what it was, whether he would proceed. And he said that there was a murder-suicide that had actually occurred in the house a few years earlier than when he bought it. He said he didn't care. He said he saw it, had 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 3 acres of land. The asking price was like $480, and it was within his realm of purchase. He said he thought it was a steal. They had lowered it by $100,000 because of what had happened in the home. So the asking price was really up his alley, and he was like, fine. So like I said, he's been living in a home. He loves the home. It's been working for him. So 5 years after he purchases the home, he finds a woman that he dates, and she wants to get married to him. He wants to get married to her. They get married. She moves in the home. She absolutely loves the house. You know, couldn't think of a better place to live, so forth and so on. She's out shopping one day and leave it to the elderly to give history. When she spoke to the young lady and she told her that she had just moved into the neighborhood and she had just bought this house that she loved, you know, moved in the house she loved with her husband, blah, blah, blah. This lady ended up saying, oh, the old Johnson house? And she says, oh, it was a terrible thing what happened there. And she broke down the story of what had happened in the Johnson house. So the woman runs home. She's all upset. And she tells, you know, her husband, you know, I'm not interested in being in this house anymore. I'm scared. We need to move. You have to sell. And his stance is, I knew about the murder-suicide that had taken place here. I decided to purchase. I've been happy. You've been happy, you know, for the time you've been living here. Now, because the lady told you what happened, you want to move? That's silly. Well, she packs up her bags. She goes to her mother's to live, and she is insistent on him selling the home. So right now they are separated because she will not return back to the home. She's waiting for him to sell and for him to buy a new home for her. She feels that she's his wife and what she says matters. He's not taking that into consideration. She's upset and she feels like, I'm not coming back. So let's say good morning to our Brother Al, to see what he has to say. Good morning, Brother Al.
Top of the morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good to hear your voices. Feel like I ain't been on here in a long time.
Yeah. We've been missing you, Brother Al. We've been missing you. So, what do you think this man should do, this husband should do? Should he stand his ground? Because he was very much aware of, you know, what he was buying. And she's angry because he didn't tell her. And she feels he should have told her since he knew. What do you think?
Well, I would say, you know, I think he should have told her. He should have, you know, been honest with her. Listen, before we go further, let me tell you there's some history with this house. And this is what happened, okay? I'm not leaving my house. I mean, I came in there with some holy water. I didn't bless it, and I'm staying.
You know
I love
that.
The house, and I'm staying. So I'm not – Dominus Hominus, I'm keeping my house. But I think he should have let her know so, you know, how she didn't have to hear from somebody else. And I'd have broke it down to, listen, no matter where we stand, you know, back in the day, there have been killings over here, this and that, but what they got to do with the house? We in here, you don't hear no crazy noises, nothing is moving by itself. You know, it's fine. You don't want to be here? All right, guess I get me another wife.
All righty, Brother Al. Where's my Brother Ainsley? Brother Ainsley, what
yeah,
say
yeah.
you? Should he have told her? And now that she's taking a stand, how do you think he should respond?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps he should have, but you know, it's probably a thing like it ain't bother him. It wasn't even much of a conversation. I'm like, Al, as a Christian, we get our home, get our place, we gonna bless it. You know, Lord, cover me and my family in this house, and we got God on our side. So now I would say for this woman. Brother Al said, she needs Jesus. I mean, like, where's your faith in? Listen, tragedy and things happen all over the time, all over the place. You mean to tell me now, you know, if you were to say, you're going to avoid a place where something happened at, you can't go nowhere. You can never go nowhere. You can never leave your house. So it's something she got to overcome. Maybe she needs some counseling, some trauma, you know, mental trauma care and stuff like that. But you can't live in fear and stuff like that. Where's your faith at? You know, she needs Jesus. She needs prayer. And I'm like, come on now. You know, I'm like, and she can't really, you know, this can't be worked out through talking, prayer, and, you know, some, you know, meaningful conversation. If she's going to be that kind of hard up, she got to go. She ain't the one for him. Got to go. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, I ain't giving up my home now. Come on now. Or if you want to move, where's your home at? Where's your house at? Can I move into your place? Where you at? You know what I'm saying? So No. She need prayer. She need some prayer. Get down on them knees.
All righty. Pastor KL, what say you? You just announced to us not that long ago, you know, that, you know, hey, I got some new digs. And now if you had a wife that came through there, you know, what would happen?
Well, you know, first of all, I appreciate my brothers, you know, on the Christian level talking about she need Jesus. Well, no, she needs some place to live. That's what she needs first. Mm. She needs a place to live because, first of all, as a black man or as a black woman, you know, it's not easy to come up with money to buy a house. You know, that's a great achievement, buying a house. And now you're telling me because you're scared, you know what I mean? That is already against God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So now that you're scared, you can't live here no more. Okay, I'm not mad at you. I'm not. I'll even give you your security. For whatever apartment, you heard what I said, apartment, you might need to share. But I'm not giving up my house. And it goes to show, or seemingly, that because I knew all this stuff, you didn't give me no money. You didn't give me no down payment. You didn't give me nothing. So technically, it's my house. Mine. So I didn't have to disclose anything. It would have been nice to disclose to you. But I thought that you might even be more appreciative that I wanted to even have you in the house, that we will grow together. But now you mad? Well, go be mad by yourself.
All right. Well, as the only woman on this panel, if you will, I have to say that I don't feel he had an obligation to tell. I think when she met him and he was in this home, if she felt him comfortable, if she found him comfortable to be living in this home, the he was paying the bills, and, you know, there were no issues, and you moved it. He showed you the home prior to y'all getting married. So you were okay with that. And then you got married and moved in the home. He made you feel welcome. You know, it specifically says that she fell in love with the home. She's been loving the house. So my thing is, who cares about what happened before we got here? I ain't got to tell you that. I don't have to tell you that. You know, I equate it with, you know, parents who feel like they got to tell their kids what happened back when they were younger. Listen, my life is between me and Jesus. If Jesus has washed away my sins, I don't owe you an explanation of what happened in my life. Now, if there's some stories I want to share with you because maybe it might benefit you or whatever, but I'm not about to let you bring things and throw things up in my face that me and God have already taken care of. And that's the way I look at this house. You met him in this house. You have had no complaints. Now, because the old lady, and that's why I said leave it up to the old people, because that's how I found out some stuff that had happened in my house before I had gotten here. You know, the lady from across the street who knew everything, she came over here and she was like, oh, you know, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. And I was like, okay, you know. But you're now asking him to leave his home, sell his home, a home that you have found yourself very comfortable in, I think is unnecessary. And I think this is a, like a superstitious issue. Oh, we can't live in a house where people, you know, there was a murder-suicide. What's that got to do with us? Like you all have said, when we move into our homes, we bring Jesus into the home. You know, we bless our homes. We're serving God while we're living in these homes. I don't necessarily think that he had an obligation to tell her. You know, now, had it happened after he moved there, that's a whole different story. But something that had happened prior to him moving there, you chose him. You agreed to be his wife. So now that's also saying you trust his judgment. So if you trust his judgment, he chose a home. He invited you into the home. He's made you feel very welcome in the home. He has not said, you know, this is my home. And he hasn't acted as though this is my home. So listen, accept the house. And I agree with whoever said, yo, you ain't give no down payment. You walked in here with just your bags. Just your bags. You walked up into the home, and now you gonna we got to move because what happened before I even got here? No, go away. Cut it out. No, I wouldn't sell a home either. I wouldn't sell a home.
You know, Pastor, it works in our favor too as the man. So, you know, you living in the house with me, and we get into an argument. You keep arguing at me. I'm be like, listen, why don't you go sit down somewhere for you mess around and wake up old man Jock? You keep arguing me. You gonna wake up old man Johnny? He gonna get to walking through the house. Now go sit down somewhere.
You know what, Brother Al? Can I tell you something? That sounds like something I'd say. Just because you didn't got on my nerves. I have to be honest with you. When you said it, I could hear myself saying that. Like, you know what? You better shut up before I start, you know, going around digging up some space where, you know, or putting a chalk outline where, you know, they found the body. You know, I had not considered that until you actually just said it. But I could see myself, you know, like, because it's annoying to hear this conversation. What'd you say?
As they tell you, you keep on arguing and doing stuff, the blood gonna start coming down the walls and we gotta clean it up. Go sit down.
Oh no. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I could see myself throwing out some digs like that. Cause that's gotta be a very annoying conversation to have. You now sitting up in your mama house talking about you ain't coming back till I sell. So my thing is, are you in love with me or are you in love with the house? Listen, you've been living in this house all this time. You'll get over it. Plain and simple as that. Plain and simple. And
her mama need to be telling her, no, you can't come in here for that nonsense.
Right.
He ain't put his hands on you. He ain't
right.
What's your mentality at? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, mama is sitting back. You couldn't stay there. You couldn't. You know what? I've been told you? Well, you didn't know that somebody killed themselves in here too? Well, I don't know where you're going to live. Because I never told you because I didn't think it mattered. When you were born into this house. It didn't matter. I brought you home. You've been fine all this time. Well, I guess you need to find someplace else to live because somebody didn't kill themselves here too. So what you going to do? So,
Pastor,
you know.
Pastor,
yes. Yes.
I would have told her, well, I know you think your daddy left you when you was born, but I killed him.
You know.
You know what I mean? That's what really happened. That's why he ain't around.
Well, how have you managed to stay out of jail, Pastor Gail?
Hey, I this is the first time I said it. And it felt good. It felt good to be in front of somebody.
I'm confessing this now.
Right.
I'm confessing this right now. Well, you know, oddly enough, I ended up coming across an article that talks about women who are calling men out for some of the things that they have found in the man's house when they have gone to they're dating, and they have stumbled across some stuff when they have gone to visit them, and they are like, no, I'm out. I am so out. And I want to know what you guys think of this. So there's a woman who says, I met this cute guy and went home with him after a couple of dates. His whole apartment was so dirty and full of trash, you couldn't even walk through. But what really got to me were the beauty products and the makeup lying around in the bathroom, obviously not used in a long time. The amount of dust and dirt on them made me realize they must have been from his ex-girlfriend with whom he broke up 2 years ago. Where my brother Al at? Brother Al, what say you? This is 2 years of him not cleaning at least this particular area. I guess maybe, you know, couldn't get over the fact that his girlfriend wasn't there anymore.
Man, let's hear a couple of things. It says that he's nasty and he's a hoarder. Now, again, you got to look. You sure that's your girlfriend makeup and not his? You never know.
That's what I thought.
You never know.
That's what I thought. All right. Brother Ainsley, she says, yo, this is makeup, beauty products, all kinds of things, 2 years from the ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, I'm with Brother Al. I'm like, first of all, he started saying, I said, first of all, he's a slob, man. That is a slob. And we started thinking of makeup. I'm like, okay, he wearing makeup? You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, what kind of guy does that? Leave, you know, from 2 years ago? I mean, that's just pure, that's a slob dirtiness to a whole new level. Like, but I'll say, you hoarding and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, if you got a potential of a young lady coming to your place, to your crib, yo, you make sure that place is, you know, I'm trying to clean my place is cleaned up, at least straightened up, man. You don't want no parts of any other female even around and stuff like that, man. But that right there, that's definitely, you see that, you just turn around and walk out and be like, that's all right, we good. Peace out.
Okay.
You know, it's terrible. Man. That's a real slob.
Wow. Yes. Pastor
that's
KL.
Nasty. That's nasty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with my brother. He definitely was not a player. You know, the last thing you do, even if you're living with another woman, the last thing you do is have her clothes or her makeup any place where it can be found. You put that stuff in a bag and put it in the closet, you know, until you know that your girlfriend coming back home. Then you put it out on display. I mean, that you just don't do stuff like that. So my first thing is, since it was out there like that, he in the closet. He wearing the makeup. How smooth is his face? You know, I mean, does his face match his neck? You know, is it the same color? You know what I mean? It man, that is Twan. I don't care what his name is, but his name is Twan. Okay, and it's just a cover-up.
I have to agree with you guys. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, well, it 2 years, ain't nobody sitting around looking at no makeup for 2 years. He's wearing the makeup. So he could sell
maybe
you on
Maybelline.
The store. What'd you say?
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't believe nobody's sitting around looking at no makeup for 2 years and it's just sitting there. I believe that he's wearing the makeup because I ain't buying that.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that. I'm with you guys. I'm definitely with you guys. All right. Another woman, she says, it wasn't, Ainsley, you should appreciate this one. It wasn't one thing, but many things. I walked into this place for the first time, and it was like I walked into an episode of Hoarders. Trash everywhere, stacks of food cans, garbage bags, and two full litter boxes with multiple cats running around. It was sheer tomfoolery. He then proceeded to play a piano that I couldn't even see because of all the trash. I ran straight out of there. Brother Ainsley, are you playing the piano with all the trash everywhere?
Oh, my God. It got to be me, right? Yo.
Oh, gosh.
So this guy is a musician. I'm all of that. Oh my goodness. Sloppy, sloppy, dirty, nasty musician. Oh my God. So it's a little slob. I mean, you know, she did the right thing. Turn on and leave, you know, no matter what he did. Played the piano. You know, I maybe that's all thing he ever, literally all he thinks he ever is concerned about is his keyboard or piano or whatever he had. You know, but that's just pure nastiness, man. Making mommy tell him just look bad, yo. Nah, he just a pure nasty slob who happens to be a musician. Nah, he need help. He need Jesus and the therapy and stuff. He did the right thing. Turn around, just walk out. You know, that's nasty.
All right, Pastor KL. What do you think? Just playing the piano.
I want to know, Angie, was you at least playing in the right key? You know, maybe we can look past everything if you played in the right key. But, yeah, that's crazy because even in your story, you said he played a piano that she couldn't even see.
Yep.
So, I mean, your house must be a mess when you can't even see the keyboard or the piano. No, I got to get out of there. You and your three blind mice and your cats could have fun.
All righty. Brother Al, listen, he could play the piano. You could play the piano. Should that have kept her around?
Absolutely not. Okay, he could play the piano. When can he play the piano? There's poems and stuff all on it. So when is he able to play it? You go to play the piano, there's breadcrumbs on it, there's cat litter on it. Oh, no, she did the right thing. You know, you know how it said in the Bible, you wipe your feet off when you leave that house. Wipe your feet off when you leave. Dust your feet off when you leave that house. Because that ain't the only thing lurking in there. Wipe your feet off.
Wow.
But she did the right thing. She got up out of there. So, wow, that's crazy.
All right, guys.
But at least he's short. At least he's showing her from the beginning how she is. There's no surprise.
That's an at least, Al? Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that's an at least. Okie dokie. Well, okay. So here, let's see if this is an at least. She says, one other woman says he had a hunting knife above his bed. I've made some dumb decisions, but I even nope out of there quickly. Pastor KL, should she have been paying attention to the fact that hunting knife was above his head, his bed?
Oh, definitely. I'd have definitely been gone. There wouldn't have been no conversation. I'd have forgot something in my vehicle and never came back. That's it. Oh, I left my charger in the car, and then I would have been gone. Yes. That's definitely a sign.
Okay. All righty. Brother Al, should she have paid attention?
Absolutely. And I say it again, at least he showed her.
No.
I'm going to tell you why I say at least. Because he could not be going, she could not be coming to his house, and he can always be going over to her house, and she don't know what's going on. Then they get real close, and all of a sudden he bring her to her house, and she see all this craziness. So that's why I said at least you see it from the beginning. But, yeah, he saw that hunting knife above the bed. Okay, you like hunting. We get that. But why is the knife over your bed? What if you know, I'm sleeping crazy and I hit the wall and that knife falls? Oh, no, I'm up out of there.
He said, just in case I sleep crazy, I can't with you, Al.
You never toss and turn in the bed and the headboard might hit the wall because, you know, you turned over to get that good sleep, and that headboard hit the ball, and that knife come down like a guillotine. No, sir.
All righty. I don't know about you. I got to pull you to the side and ask you some questions. Oh, Brother Ainsley.
Yeah. Well, you know what had happened was. See, he moved in a place where there was a murder-suicide, right? So he thought he had to have a knife there just in case. That's what happened, you know. That's what he was just thinking about that. He said, just in case, let me put this knife up here just in case, you know, because there's too many things lurking in the house, could pop up, I can't see it. And so, yeah, he was trying to, you know, he was just a matter of just trying to take care of himself just in case, you know. But then again, you know, apparently, so he ain't got no filter, no shame in saying, yo, look, girl, this is how I am, this is how I live. And, you know, and if you did the right thing, turn around and just walk out. Because, you know, I wish I could see the expression on her face when you walk in to see something like that. First of all, you see the place, or, you know, in such a disarray and you know, stuff all over the place, the litter. You don't see the piano. You see, you know, the litter box. So you got to imagine how the cats are being maintained. Then you got to imagine what the smell is like. You know, you get all of these signs. How many signs do you need for you to turn around and walk out? You know
right.
what I'm mean?
Saying? Right.
So, you know,
right.
just a dirty place alone is bad enough. But if you see something else, you know, like Brother KL, I left something in the car. You know, I left my charger. I left my phone. I just got to go.
Yeah, I'd be trying to find my way out of here as well. All right, guys, I got one more for you. 35-year-old woman. I went to a guy's place for the first time. He shared a studio with another guy, and his designated space happened to be in the kitchen. We sat on his cot facing the stove when he reached over to the microwave, opened it, and pulled out a bowl of what I can only assume was three-day-old SpaghettiOs. Nastiest thing I've ever seen. And then he proceeded to chow down on it. I couldn't leave fast enough. Brother Al.
If I can get past the line. Oh, my God. Okay. So, she did the right thing by leaving. But they, you know, look at the positive side. You know, you can sit there and watch him cook the food and make sure he don't poison you, make sure he's clean as he's cooking. He's right there. You can see it. So we want to take some positive out of it. We want to take some positive out there. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to go far to get to the kitchen. You know, it comes out the oven and come right to you. You know, she's able to watch him, make sure he washes his hands. So, you know, there's some positive in there.
Okay. All right. If you say so. Brother Ainsley.
Yeah, he is. What I think about that? She did the right thing. You know, listen, maybe he got to get himself more together. And, you know, before you start dating and stuff like that, get your own place. So you living in the kitchen. And where you explain it, it looks like it's when the arms reach.
Yeah,
that's
the way she's
reach.
Describing it. Yep.
You know, sometimes you just gotta wait till you do better, because you know, before you start dating and stuff, trying to go out. But nah, she did the right thing. Cause there we go. So he got three, you know, like three, well, you know, days old spaghetti in the microwave. He's gonna turn into that musician with the messy apartment. He got a bigger place. You see, that's where his truth is headed. With the knife on the headboard and stuff. So
yeah.
He did the right thing.
Pastor KL.
Yeah, I think the first red flag was when you found out that I live with other folks. I'm not going to nobody's house who lives with other folks. There's no privacy. You know, we can't talk. I'm on the couch, they on the couch. You know what I mean? I'm turning the channel, they turning the channel. You know, I'm not doing that. You know, and then, you know, though I live with roommates, my room is the kitchen. So I'm trying to be hot and bothered. You're hot and bothered because the stove is on, and it's hot up in there. Now you cooking 3-day-old SpaghettiO. Your boys are coming in and out of the refrigerator, in and out of the cupboards, while you there trying to romance someone in the kitchen. No. Now, If you can't survive 3-day-old SpaghettiOs, if I give you an apartment where you have rooms, oh my God, could you imagine what it looks like? It's gonna be worse than the Piano Man. It's gonna be worse than that. No. These are all the flags. And then the reason why the knife is over the bed is because the bed is in the kitchen. The knife just happens to be in the kitchen. No, it's okay.
Oh my goodness gracious, gentlemen! Thank you so much for taking us into a thought-provoking weekend, and we pray that you have a blessed one.
All right, you too. Everybody, take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Watch out for the knife over the bed.
All right, Brother Al. All righty. Let's have our benediction. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a conversation. Well, first of all, I want to go back. I had some comments for my earlier conversations, and one of my comments was leave Mary J alone. Yo, Mary J is whack as Monet Tejada. I'm still trying to figure out who paid for her to be on the show, because she's not, you know, that, I just don't think she's that good to have been on the show until last how many seasons. They could have found several people to rock that role, and I wish they had done so. We were talking about who could go, and someone says, I can see Effie going. Alrighty. Effie got on my nerves. She, you know, she pushed her way into this enterprise. She did Tariq wrong the last time, and they let her back in, and I haven't seen her as much of an asset. So, I don't know. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, our main conversation was, you know, whether, you know, this woman should have been told, and, you know, about the history of the home. And then we went into the conversation of, you know, some of the things that women have found in the home to really, you know, be challenging. You know, can you really endure some of these things that, you know, these people, how they live? And, you know, again, I say stop visiting these people's homes. You know, one of the things was he had a knife hanging above the bed. No, stay out of the house. You won't see it. You know, some people say, well, it's good to go through because now you get to see how he lives. Well, here's my thought. If I walked into your home and you were that confident that I would be accepting of these descriptions, somebody said, you know, the litter boxes were nasty and trash was all over the place and all kinds of things, and you didn't bother to clean up when you knew I was coming by, or if this was a spontaneous thing, you know, you didn't think and say, well, dang, I left the home, you know, really trashy, so maybe I'll go to her house, or maybe we just go to a hotel. You know, if you couldn't spend $5 on me to, you know, this is in my former life, you know, to take me, and I'm not saying I would have gone, but at least, you know, to care enough about what I thought or what you were introducing me to even invite me into these homes. Every single one of these women said that the homes were deplorable. And they have, like, I'm trying to see. They've got 20 different scenarios. And most of these scenarios, you know, describe a very nasty, not just an unkept home, nasty, you know, to the point of I can't see a keyboard or a piano. You know, somebody then got some makeup and, you know, beauty products left for 2 years. You've been moving over. So supposedly, according to you, you know, this is somebody else's stuff. You haven't had anybody here for 2 years. And you thought that little of me to invite me into your home looking like this? Then to me, it doesn't say much of who you think I am. So I'm not, no, not only am I leaving the home if I were to go, but you wouldn't have to worry about me. Because what happened to making a good impression? You know, Brother Al says at least, you know, I guess maybe they thought there was some at least too. Maybe not the at least Brother Al brought up, but they thought it was, well, at least I got my own place. You know, and that's what I wanted to ask you women. You know, are we in a world where, you know, he just got to have his own place, and this is what we end up with, where you're living in the kitchen. Now, I'm sorry. We can't do that. You living in the kitchen, you can reach from where you sit on the cot. You sitting on a cot, and all you have to do is reach out. And but see, again, what's your mentality when you actually reach to do this in front of me? You don't even pretend. You know, I'm not even going to McDonald's. Okay, we hungry. Let's go get something to eat. You really thought it was fine for you to sit on the cot and reach out to get a bowl of SpaghettiOs. And, Lord have mercy. You know, this is what the women of today are enduring. And that's the scary part. This is, years ago, at least they pretended like they were about something. But we have gotten so comfortable that this is what we offer one another. Because, you probably have men who can say, you know, some bad stories as well. And this is why this whole friendship process, this whole getting to know you process is so important. So important. Because, again, it's one thing if you're living like this in private. But when we get to a point where we don't even care what we reveal or expose to someone we're supposed to be interested in. These women thought that these men, you know, these are men who they were dating. These are men who were interested in them, and they invited them over to where they were living. And this is what he did. This is how he was living. And when do you reach a point where you say to yourself, well, you know what, let me put up a good front. That ain't even existed anymore. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. All I know is just let God decide. Because I'm going to be honest. Even if a person did, you know, keep their home, you know, in a bad condition, we don't know how we're, you know, what we're going to meet. We don't know what your how bad you're doing. Let's put it like that. We don't know how bad you're doing when we meet. You don't know how bad I'm doing. You don't know how dysfunctional I am in this area. I don't know how dysfunctional you are in that area. And can I say that, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, this is the worst thing? Is that worse than a man who has, you know, some financial problems? He can't hold a job. And you follow what I'm saying? Because, see, in God's eyes, sin is sin. Us, you know, there's a gradation of sin to us. At least I didn't kill somebody and I only robbed the bank. But I didn't kill nobody. You know, what does God see when he looks at us? And we all have some deficiencies when we meet a person. Now, nastiness is, you know, something that ranks high on the list. And we're like, I could deal with this, but I just can't deal with it. I could deal with the fact that you don't cook, but I can't deal with the fact that you're nasty. Well, you might be someone who's got OCD and you could eat up off the floor, but if your attitude and your treatment of a woman is nasty, does it really make a difference? And that's the point I'm trying to make. And this is why, you know, we need to make sure that above all things, we make sure we live a life where we have such a relationship with the Lord that he's going to choose, and we're going to allow him to choose who we're with. Because I would like to think that if God had a man for Stephanie, it would be where, you know, he wouldn't be, you know, inviting me over at a point. Now, whether I say yes or no is something completely different. But the fact that you would even think to invite me over to such nastiness is scary to me. And I know, you know, maybe God would save me from all of that. I don't know. Well, I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that he would. But stick close to God and let him choose this person for you, because there's going to be some cleanup that's going to get done by the time God allows, you know, your path to cross. And, you know, nobody's going to be at their perfect state, but we would like to believe that they have gotten past this point. And, you know, the things that are you're left with, you know, that you have to contend with, you know, you know, on a certain level that, you know, okay, well, you know, I could live with this one until, you know, God works on that. Woo. Let's just say our prayers. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, amen, for sending us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us and keeping the conversation going. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until Sunday, God spares where it's the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room and let's see what we're going to be praying about. Until then, I love you.